Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
All aboard, the Carolina Outdoors is now in session. Train is leaving the depot. Wes Lawson right there, Bill Barty right here. Wes, I just got the Sporting Classics magazine, and one of our contributors, Charles Ray Matthews, had a great article in the March 2023 edition of Sporting Classics magazine.
That's a great magazine, folks. If you have not found that, you need to go find it. This article, The Old Man and the Fly Fisherman, is worth your consideration in these troubled times in which we live. It's just a good look at slowing down and enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah, kind of the evolution of an angler as he enters into the sport of fly fishing and sporting and sports, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about on this edition of the Carolina Outdoors, because we have a whole lot to do, Wes. We have to cover our Facebook Live event, and we invite people to follow Jesse Brown's Outdoors over on Facebook and Instagram as well to keep up with what's going on. We're also going to talk to fishing pro Andy Montgomery. Is going to join in, and we're going to find out about the Red Crest 2023 up on Lake Norman coming up here later in March, March 8th through 12th, I believe those dates are.
And I guess we're not going to talk about the fact that our intro music sounded an awful lot like we should have a car outside named Kit. Ooh. That was almost some Knight Rider intro. That was pretty awesome. I felt like I needed to have a blown out mullet and a leather jacket. Do my best David Hasselhoff.
Say that again, David. say that again, Michael.
Speaking of running off the rails, I think we already have. But well, yeah, we've got a lot going on today, Bill.
We do. And of course, Wes, we do need to talk about where we come from, Jesse Brown's Outdoors. And we are turning this corner. I feel like we talk about it quite a bit, but you can visit us in store at the brick and mortar Jesse Brown's Outdoors in the Sharon Corner Shopping Center in the heart of Charlotte's shopping district. Or you can head over to jessebrowns.com, but we have a whole new grouping of spring items, spring brands from Saks to Free Fly is now at Jesse Brown's. The ever-popular Charleston, South Carolina-based company Free Fly has come on board. All of that, as well as the new Patagonia for 2023, is making its way through, and it's exciting to see.
Great new styles, new colors, stuff that feels so good. I think a lot of people are complacent with what they put on. You try on some of this new stuff, especially the newer Cap Cool Daily lines from Patagonia, anything from Free Fly, some of the new stuff from Task, even some of the new Haller Brothers, Bill. It just feels good, and you realize what you've been wearing has been a disservice to your body and to your countenance. So you're going to look even better in pictures with your loved ones because you'll be smiling. New boots from Ocelo.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, like
the big chestnut leather boot.
Man.
Wow, the TPS 520 GTX.
Yeah, well, and the Fugitive GTX, for me, is one of the best pieces of footwear ever made. Fight me on it, you'll lose. But so much good stuff in the store right now.
The other end of the spectrum in footwear is the On Cloud. People will, with the logoing, will call it the QC or the CC or the OC, but the On Cloud footwear. We're talking about shoes and boots and everything in between. Mm-hmm. That has arrived as well. So from the burly boots that men may need to the lightweight shoes that both men and women may need, it is all on hand at Jesse Brown's for spring of 2023.
And fly rods and reels.
Oh, yeah, we left that out.
Waders and wading boots are getting stocked back up. Lots of great things from our friends from Oregon. That's Benchmade knives, buck knives as well. All kinds of good stuff in there. So, yeah, come on by.
Well, let's get this show on the road. We'll go into some Facebook Live. We invite you to tune in. And if you missed it, head over to Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors, the podcast ever available. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Barty. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. Wes Lawson right there, Bill Barty right here. Wes, We had a great interview with Andy Montgomery, a bass fishing professional.
You know, it staggers me the amount of work that goes into professional bass fishing. People think that fishing is fun or maybe even hard sometimes, but that those guys are on the road 150, 250 days out of the year studying the lakes, keeping notes, probably on tablets now.
Yeah.
65 rigged up rod and reel combos in the truck and maybe hundreds of dozens of lures in their vehicles. Like, the level of commitment is, it makes what we do fishing look like, you know, flag football, and these guys are in the NFL. It's incredible.
Well, and of course, it's the month of March. That Red Crest 2023 is taking place on Lake Norman. March 8 through 12 are the dates that it's going on. Hatchery Supported Waters, we're going to talk a little bit about this before we invite our Facebook Live friends to play along. But Hatchery Supported Waters in North Carolina are closed in the month of March, completely closed. We need to talk a bit about that. But coastal waters, the fish are schooling up. The mountain waters, the air temperature is warming. The water temperatures are warming. People are starting to head that way more. And, of course, with the Lake Norman event and all of our area anglers listening, know what they're doing, whether it be Norman, Mountain Island, any of the area lakes, High Rock, and then some. It goes back to that old middle school question of Marianne or Ginger from Gilligan's Island, or mountains or beach, as people will ask that question. What is your favorite? What is your favorite? Where is your favorite, generally, place to go fishing? Is it a moving trout stream? Is it a motorboat across Lake Wylie or Lake Norman? Or is it being at the coast when the redfish are schooled up or the blues are running? What is your favorite? We invite our Facebook Live friends to chime in and tell us what theirs are. Wes, you've got quite a resume of angling experiences across that board. So I'll let you answer. If you do have a favorite, what is your favorite?
Gosh, I don't know that I guess I do have a favorite. I do like coastal saltwater fishing probably the most, because even when you're trolling around trying to find fish, you're still doing something. And the fight is so much fun. But I'm not going to say no to a mountain trout stream any stretch. And I probably wouldn't say no to a bass pond either. I mean, that was, you know, great experience, great memories doing that. It's fun. It's accessible. But if I had my druthers, I think it would be probably, you know, near shore or inshore saltwater is, to me, the best balance of all of those things.
Getting to the coast. Susan Lakeman, a few days ago on the Facebook Live post, said mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said mountains. So, and you know what? That may be what I would say as well. Not that there is a right or a wrong, so please don't feel like you're being cornered with the answer. But I'll talk a little bit about, we did a program on this, a show, Carolina Outdoor Show, about the different types of fishing and the mindsets that it took. But, of course, a lot of times going out to target, sight casting to fish, whether you're going to Florida, the Bahamas, Mexico for bonefish, a lot of that is like hunting.
Yep.
You're standing there trying to spot the fish. I love being able to kind of rock hop, almost people will roll their eyes about the size of the fish. Well, it does matter, but it's fun to be wet wading on a mountain stream for me.
Sure.
This is my answer. And with a dry fly, not necessarily working these long drifts with a nymph, but dry fly fishing, a big dry fly that I can see per, that's very important, being able to see the dry
fly. With your lost and found glasses.
But being able to hear and watch and see these fish, whether it be a 4-inch eye roll or whether it be a 12-inch or a 16-inch trout, wow. But I love that exercise of not only the cast and not only the strike by the fish, but also the exercise of moving up a trout stream, kind of enjoying that. And some of it is not just the fishing. It's the environment, the sounds, and that is what I like. So
you're so surrounded and engrossed in it. You know, every section of creek and river is so different. What animals are moving where, the sounds, the smells, how the water's reacting. You know, every bend is different, and that's part of what makes it so great. Yeah, I don't disagree with you about that. What's Susan Lakeman saying there?
She said, Dave, the Bergman,
Lead fly guide at Jesse Brown's Outdoors, available for trips, wading trips on public waters at jessebrowns.com.
He knows where to go. And you know what? On that topic of whether it's being in a motorboat on an area lake, a canoe, dry fly fishing on a wild trout stream, delayed harvest fishing, and that's what we can talk a little bit about next, because there's been questions put out there for the trout angler. The month of March is closed on hatchery-supported streams. It's a 1,000 or so miles, I think, total. But you cannot fish there. It's not that you can't catch and keep or catch and release. You can't fish those hatchery-supported streams at all.
That's right, because the state is stocking 964,000 fish for us to catch. But they need to get them in there during this month. So they have their hands full for 30 days or so. So give them that space. But it does raise the question, though, Bill, of hatchery-supported versus delayed harvest. What's the difference, or are they the same? Can you have delayed harvest hatchery-supported is a question we get frequently.
Yes. And the answer is yes, if that's the right way to say it. Delayed harvest program started in the early 1990s, and it started as a subset of the hatchery-supported water, essentially without the delayed harvest. Without the stockings on those delayed harvest streams, that water would be considered hatchery-supported water. And there's several different designations, from wild trout water, which you are allowed to fish right now.
Correct.
They have placards on those wild trout streams in the Smokies or otherwise that you can fish in the month of March. Delayed harvest, although it is a subset of hatchery-supported, the delayed harvest, which have the black and white placards, you can fish in the month of March. There's 30 or so streams and two different lakes now that the program has expanded over the past 30 years. And you can fish those, but what you cannot do on those is keep fish, at least October through the first Saturday in June.
You're delaying the harvest until after that time in June.
Yes. And I'll name a few streams. In fact, I have this as one of my favorite places to go fish, and it is all of the above. The Wilson Creek Gorge area, or the Wilson Creek drainage, where the gorge is, where people like to kayak and whitewater through there when the water's up, that is all considered hatchery supported.
Yep.
But as you go up deeper into Pisgah Forest, as you enter into Pisgah Forest, and I'm coming at it from Morganton area, so the Brown Mountain Beach Road. Now, if you go there April 1st, opening day of trout season, it is like going to Disney World on a Saturday in late May, Memorial Day. It is July 4th.
Just with older people.
It is packed with everybody that opening day. But as you go up, I forget how many miles it is, you'll start to see black and white placards.
Yep.
And that is, it's a newer designation for that area. It's 3.5 miles that they designated delayed harvest water. You can go fish there, catch, and release there in the month of March. Is this confusing enough?
Well, even if you go to ncwildlife.org, which is our State Natural Resources Commission's website, which is a very helpful website, it's all written very legal ease. It's like reading VCR instructions. Placement of commas makes a difference. But you do, before you go fishing, you should check this stuff out, because there are a lot of folks who think that delayed harvest, like right now or 2 weeks ago, meant you couldn't go fishing, and that you could, you just couldn't keep.
Yes.
So, you know, work it out.
The trout streams are open, just not that certain designation of hatchery supported, where they are going to stock, dare I say, almost 1 million fish.
Yeah, they should just round that up. But yeah, if you're fishing wild trout waters, there's no closed season unless a specific stream or section is marked. So this is a great time to rediscover our wild trout streams, go catch some native brook trout, and enjoy the more technical waters that we have right now.
The voice you hear right there is Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Bartee. However you're listening to us, whether it's early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio, maybe you're subscribing to Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors, the podcast, or maybe you're joining us via Facebook Live, we invite you to ask us any questions. It's just one more reason to join the social media program at Jesse Brown's, whether it be Instagram, where we like to share fish pictures and outings and product that comes into Jesse Brown's Outdoors, because springtime is here and that's always evolving, or whether it be liking and following us on Facebook, where you can see the Carolina Outdoors happening at any moment's time, but especially the first Thursday of every month at 1:30, we like to put a segment out there for our friends at Facebook Live. We're putting a question out there of, what's your favorite type of fishing? Fishing at the coast? Is it fishing in a bass boat in an area lake, or maybe a canoe in an area pond? Or is it destination fishing in western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee? I guess we're not limited to anything, because one of my other favorites, am I like a politician that has multiple favorites? I love going out. At one time, this had the most catchable fish per square mile, the Green River in Utah, the Flaming Gorge, which I think I liked it because it had the most catchable fish,
right? Who wouldn't
per
like that?
Square
yeah.
miles. But it also had these beautiful cliffs that you're kind of going through. It's a tail race. So we would fish it. You can fish it, wade fishing it by hiking down and fishing the water. I would most oftentimes fish it in a McKenzie boat, a dory, a drift boat, and move down the stream. And it has these fish, and they eat in so many different forms and fashion. Of course, anglers will talk about how 90% of a fish's meals are eaten underwater, subsurface. But that 10 or so percent when they're coming to the top, that is so much fun. Of course, the Green has that offering as well.
Well, and the western waters have, because of the geography and the microbiology and the biology in general, we think we have a bug problem here. It's mostly mosquitoes and maybe termites. But,
yes.
You know, when they have the grasshopper hatch out there, it's biblical. And that's not even an exaggeration. So when you have grasshoppers the size of small hot dogs, that makes very quickly 10% of the diet very fast. And it's unreal when you get to fish out there when those hatches are cycling back through. You know, the caddis hatch comes through a couple times. That's always fun, but when the grasshopper hatch hits, it's just insanity. Because you hear those things jump, and they basically fly. You know, I mean, they're just – it's phenomenal. So that's a good one to like.
It's March in the Carolina Outdoors, and we're talking about fishing. And, Wes, I can't help but you mentioned your favorite place, heading to the coast. That would have been my answer. But this, it goes back to Instagram and Facebook and being able to see the pictures and listen to the Carolina Outdoors, to hear about you, your son, your brother being out at Harker's Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, that was striper fishing, right? Or no,
false
you were
albacore.
False albacore fishing.
False albacore. Yeah, and this past year it was hard work and not a lot of pictures to show for it, but that's become an annual trip, and then we'll do a couple of redfish trips. And you know, Ben, my soon-to-be 13-year-old, caught a beautiful tagged redfish last year that in South Carolina. So the state sent him a T-shirt for that, which was pretty cool. But, you know, fish know when there's a child on the other end of the line, and they just jump on. So it's fun to watch him having to fight – aggressive reds, though we haven't done the bull reds yet. I want to wait a little while when he's a little bit bigger to do that, so the fish that are his size won't pull him into the water just yet. But it's fun to watch your child do that, and it's fun for me to watch my older brother, Captain Adam Lawson, working with my son, and to hear their banter back and forth.
Well, and it also probably speaks to the dynamic of there's a father-son relationship there, but there's also an uncle-nephew relationship there, and they are those are two very different relationships, at least especially for the young person involved.
Yeah.
So it probably makes a nice mix.
It's good to let somebody else teach your loved ones certain things, because teaching your loved ones is very hard, especially fishing. So if you need help with that, we're here to help you at Jesse Brown's and jessebrowns.com. And if you want someone to teach your loved one, or you, the loved one, all about fly fishing, why don't you book a waiting trip with Dave Bergman? And you can do that in the store, over the phone, or online.
Listen, we have that going on because it is the month of March. The weather's starting to warm. The guide service, the waiting trips are starting to book up. It's a perfect time to get it on the calendar. That's the hardest part we have found, is making the time, making that day happen so that you can get on a stream with Dave and the guides at Jesse Brown's and learn the sport of fly fishing. It's just another arrow in the quiver. And it goes along with all the new merchandise that's showing up at Jesse Brown's as well. You can check it out at jessebrowns.com. Wes, we're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side. Andy Montgomery's going to join in with us, and we're going to find out how Lake Norman is fishing. And we're going to find out about this thing called the Red Crest 2023. It's a big tournament coming to the Charlotte area, and we're all invited. We'll be back after this on the Carolina Outdoors. The biggest event in bass fishing is coming up here in the Charlotte area, the Red Crest 2023, presented by Shore Lunch. It's the championship of the Bass Pro Tour, and we're going to talk a little bit about it here on the Carolina Outdoors. The winner has a shot at $300,000, the top prize there on Lake Norman, and it's going to be an exciting time on Lake Norman at the Expo Center, the Park Expo Center, as well, and it's an exciting time here on the Carolina Outdoors. Welcome, everyone. I'm Bill Barty with Wes Lawson, and we're going to find out what's happening on our Carolina lakes, but also what it takes to win this tournament.
$300,000, Bill, I think we need to get a professional in here.
Well, let's do that. This is one of the 40 in this angler field that's going to be on Lake Norman March 8 through 12. We're going to welcome him on from Blacksburg, South Carolina. So let's go ahead and call him a local boy, Andy Montgomery. Welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, guys. Glad to join him. For sure, I consider myself a local.
Well, and that might be a little bit of added pressure that we wanted to ask you about. Is that added pressure coming to home waters, so to speak, with friends, with family, with fans? And you know the lake. You won here in 2000. Well, let's see, what was it? It's 9 years ago you won the Open on Lake Norman. Does that add pressure here in 2023?
Well, yeah. So I had a saying that pressure is just manufactured in one's head, but I found out that I told myself a lie, because there is a lot of pressure that comes with it. I had no idea, really. It's just a lot of pressure. A lot of people, you know, saying you're going to win, and you know, we know how good them other guys are. We know how, if a pattern develops in front of any of the other 39 guys, they can exploit it just as fast as we can. So maybe a little bit of a home field advantage, but this group of guys are so good. When they show up, they feel like a local.
Well, of course, Lake Norman is the largest man-made lake in North Carolina. There have been plenty of tournaments on Norman, on Wiley. Wiley's a little bit more compact. I know you fished there a good bit. But talk to us and our listeners about the strategy to win. Do you go to one place? Lake Norman's so big. Do you go to one place looking for a few big fish, or do you go wherever you need to catch any size fish.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, there is a couple different things you can do to try to target the big fish, but that's a great question in my opinion. So we're going to be fishing 5 days. The guy that wins the tournament will fish 5 days in a row. So the key is going to be managing pressure. You can't go back to the same place day in and day out and just continue to catch them. You're going to have to utilize the whole lake. You're going to have to move around. You're going to have to manage the pressure that you're personally putting on fish, and then you're going to have to, you know, kind of see what areas are getting pressure by other anglers and try to manage that. So Norman being a big lake is going to help. Only being 40 guys on the water is going to help. But these guys have a tendency to find a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the stuff that's working. And being able to manage that pressure over 5 days. 5 days is a lot. And that's probably the key to winning is just how do you – it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So how do you manage that pressure? And how do you win the marathon?
Well, and of course, the Red Crest has a setup where 40 anglers start on March 8th and 9th, and you carry your pound total over. But then the knockout round, March 10, weights are all zeroed out. The top 20 anglers will be fishing then, and then so forth. Knockout round number 2 takes it down to 15 anglers on March 11th, and then March 12th. There's 10 people on the water competing for the win.
So, yeah, I wanted to follow up with this idea of the pressure that the fish go through. So, there's two. This is a great time for sporting events, including fishing. Racing is back in. Race teams get to attract days early. They practice. They get a feel for things. What sort of pre-event work is done so you and the rest of the field knows where to go, understands where fish may be, or are you just that good, you show up and you catch fish?
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but we probably do more preparation for the championship. Obviously, there's a lot of money on the line. We have a 30-day cutoff before the event. And before that cutoff, you know, you can spend as much time as you want to on the lake. And there was a lot of guys from all over came here. And they spent time out with their grass, learning where the brush piles was, and really not trying to learn what the fish were doing, but learning the lake, where the structure was, brush piles, that type of thing, different areas get watercolor. Then after the 30 days, we come back and we get 2 days of pre-fishing, 2 days of practicing, and that's when the guys are kind of figure out, you know, what mood the fish are in, what stage they're in. And then we'll go into the event. But this time of year, everything evolves. You know, it's like the trees blooming. You know, the fish are constantly changing this time of year. So you got to stay on your toes and you got to change with them throughout the week. But that's the preparation we do. There's a lot of preparation goes into an event like this, especially from guys out of town.
So you've gone through and you really
go over the lake.
You found where all the habitat is, where fish may move depending on the weather. Right now we have this warm wave coming, and then that gives you a better idea of where to go and then how to be rigged up on game day.
Yeah, correct. So you find all the habitat, and then, you know, on the 2 days of practice, you try to learn what habitat or what specific habitat the fish are using, and then, you know, you have an inventory, basically, of stuff that you found all over the lake that you can run to and try to duplicate that pattern or that type of habitat.
We've got the Red Crest 2023. We've got competitor Andy Montgomery from Blacksburg, South Carolina, one of the top winning anglers on the circuit, who's joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors with Wes Lawson, Bill Barty from Jesse Brown's Outdoors. And Andy, I need to staying on that topic, on that subject. Another favorite, you are one of the favorites in the 2023 tournament. Another favorite's a friend of yours, Brian Thrift, and ironically, he's a hometown boy as well from Shelby, just right across the Cherokee County line from you, Andy. You are listed as one of the best casters to shore in the business, but you have said that Brian is one of the best offshore anglers, second to none, was your quote. What are you hoping for as you all go head-to-head with the other 38? What are you hoping for in regards to weather with the strengths that you have versus other anglers' strengths?
Yeah, so as you said, it's been really warm, so that should have pushed the fish to bank. So it's setting up good for the bank guys to exhale. We got a cold front coming in. Once fish move, most of the time they don't move back. So hopefully they will be more bake oriented. There'll always be a few offshore, and Brian is one of the best in the game offshore, no doubt. Me and him grew up fishing Norman together. I've seen it firsthand. So that will play some. But there will also be a lot of bank beating going on, casting and, fishing the – somebody asked me the other day, how many docks are on Lake Norman? I'm scared to even guess. I'm scared to guess. I tried to look it up on the internet, dock permits, but, docks will play, so casting will play for sure too. So you'll probably see a little bit of both playing. It's just that time of year where things is changing and both are going on.
Well, and I know, we in the Open, we talked about you winning the Open 9 years ago, and then you and Brian and other anglers have fished Lake Norman, but a lot has changed, like the number of docks on Lake Norman. Is that play a concern? And to Wes's question about your preparation, obviously you're studying docks and all of that sort of thing. Is it a whole new lake than it was 10 years ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're so busy with other stuff, in the fishing world, in the fishing business, that I just basically don't get time to fish at home. I just don't. And when I fished that Open 9 years ago, that's really the last time I'd fished the lake a lot. Mm. And I fished a little tournament, a Special Olympics tournament with my nephew this year. And that's when I realized, it was back in November, that I needed to get up there and do some homework. And a lot of the older brushier, good docks, they're simply gone. They've been replaced with pole docks. The lake is a lot more spotted bass now, and the lower end of the lake is extremely clear, clearer than I've ever seen it. So the lake has done some changes. And that's going to factor in, but just like the out of towners, I was up there this winter trying to refamiliarize myself with the lake for sure.
Well, in this tournament, out of towners, we've got people coming from all across the Southeast, California, Japan. It's a huge range of folks. But how often are you on the road from one competition to the next?
It's competition for me now, where I'm at in my career, I basically fish about 8 or 10 events a year, which translate into about 100 days, but a lot of work outside of that. When I was building my career, 1 year I was going over 250 overnight days. That's how many days I was going on the road fishing.
With a truck and trailer and all your gear, hither and yon, that's a lot of highway time and a lot of motels and taking care of gear at night and looking at your notes, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot, but that's what you got to do to kind of build your career. So, again, heavily involved in the business side of the sport now, so that takes a tremendous amount of time. And, I just focus on the Bass Pro Tour, which is 7 regular seasons. Then we have our championship, and we have a couple specialty events to go along with that. So with the business side of it, I'm probably going 150 days or so now. Not quite as much, which is nice.
Sure.
250 days is a lot. At the time, I didn't have, kids and all that, so 150 days is a lot better.
Yeah, that's like traveling with the Rolling Stones at the peak of their career when you're gone that much. When you're on the water in a competition, you've obviously got the boat. How much other equipment do you have ready to go? I mean, I know I've seen pictures where it looks like 6, 8, 12 rods rigged up ready. What's that quiver look like for you first day out on the water?
Yeah, it's a lot. So every tournament varies, but I basically carry 65 rods and reels with me. Somewhere around 35 or so will be in the boat. And tackle prep, we're on the road and we fish 10 days in a row. So, if we're catching them on a certain color bait, not all the time is that tackle store or Bass Pro Shop close you can run get one. So, if you're fishing 10 days in a row and you're using 2 packs a day, you got to have 20 packs of this one certain color somewhere. So we carry a lot of stuff in our truck, backups, and there's a ton of tackle preparation goes on. I've said that you possibly could spend as much as 3 hours off the water preparing for every 1 hour you actually fish. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. When I started my professional career, I only owned 7 rods and reels, and it took me 7 Christmases and birthdays to get them. and to evolve into, you know, sometimes I kind of feel bad about it, but, you know, I carry 65 rod and reel combos with me. Not all in the boat at the time. 30, 35 are in the boat, but the rest are in the truck ready to go. Because we may need, you know, like you only need 1 9-iron when you're playing golf. But if we're flipping and we're flipping 3 different baits, we may need 3 exact rod and reel combos, you know, for that type of situation. It'd be like a golfer having different golf balls to hit, and he needs, you know, 3 different 9-irons to hit them golf balls. That's kind of the way it is. So it's a lot of tackle preparation, but all these guys do it, and all these guys just got the same equipment.
I think, you know, perspective for folks there is maybe 5 or 6 competitors have more tackle, more rods, reels, and lures than almost any locally owned, family owned fishing store, not just an outdoor fishing store. And I bet at that competition in your trucks, you probably have more than sponsorship stores. That's a tremendous amount of gear to acquire, to maintain, and then to know how to use as well as y'all do.
Yeah, I've never heard that analogy, but you're spot on. I've never, you know, probably, like you said, 4 or 5 guys is equivalent to the, you know, the local tackle store, that's for sure. And like I said, we got to carry so much backup stuff because sometimes my truck don't come home, you know, for a month or so. So, we carry a lot of tackle. We got, like a man that works in the grading business, he can't go grading without a skid steer or a bulldozer.
You got to have it all. And we've got some business.
We've got tools to do our job.
Well, and this is a job that you're good at. Of course, Major League Fishing, the Red Crest 2023. We have got Andy Montgomery on the Carolina Outdoors. 2 career wins, 39 top 10s, 53 top 20s, winnings over $1.3 million. Andy, not to do that, but fans, you mentioned your family, but also fans are encouraged to come out to the takeoff ceremony at Blythe Landing Wednesday through Saturday. That's the good night. What are those dates? March 9th through the 11th, I guess. Wednesday through Saturday at 7 a.m. Sunday, the 12th, will be at 8 a.m. Andy, will your family come out there? I know Kinsley and Karen, or Sharon, will they sneak out there?
Probably some. You know, Kinsley's still in school, so I doubt they'll be able to make it through the week.
Well,
if we was out of town, Sharon would probably flew in, but, you know, she'll probably handle things at home. But they will definitely be, they'll definitely be at the expo for sure, and probably at Blast Off a few days. So the expo is where it's at. That's the takeoff's great. We hope a bunch of people come out there. It's a good way to meet all the guys and all the pros, but fortunately, last year I made it all the way to the championship round, so I didn't get to go into the expo, but I heard it was pretty good. TV's everywhere. It's kind of the old sports, you know, arena-type environment where a lot of people are watching it together and a lot of cheering and jeering and all that good stuff going on. So the expo is, you know, if you want to come out, great deals, and it's going to be a good environment, too.
Yeah, and that we just need to say this, too, because it is free. The General Tire Outdoor Sports Expo, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 10th through 12th, it's free. It's open from 11 to 7 p.m. You'll be able to see the pros, meet the pros, get autographs signed as well, and that is at the Park Conference and Expo Center right off of Independence Boulevard. So it's a wonderful time to come out there and see Andy and enjoy all of the vendors that are going to be on there. Andy, I've got one more question, or a couple of more anyway, but one more for sure, because Andy Montgomery is our guest. Andy, you graduated with a degree in engineering from Clemson University. Have any of your sponsored had that awkward moment when they ask you to wear any garnet or black, the color of the Gamecocks? Has that popped up any? And what do you say?
You know, I ain't never thought about that, but General Tire is eerily close to that. And may have to bring that situation up to them guys. For sure. But General Tire is one of they're one of my locals. Well, I say local. They're one of my sponsors, who actually their headquarters is pretty local to here, yeah, around the Rock Hill area. So, and you mentioned free admission. That's awesome. Thankful to General Tire for making that happen for all the fans, for sure. Not many sporting events you can go to and it'd be free.
That's the truth.
That's a fact. So, but yeah, I never thought about that. Now you got my wheels turning. I'm gonna have to make a phone call and see if we can't get some colors rearranged on this General Tire.
I think you might be able to pull it off with the success you've had. And I've got an answer for Kinsley too, because she can watch the action live starting at 7:30 in the morning. All 5 days of competition is going to be at MajorLeagueFishing.com, and she can smuggle it into school on her app, the MLF app as well, and keep up with what Daddy's doing.
She can, and I think she actually asked her teacher sometimes, you know, how's my daddy doing? So,
because you know that's what they're doing.
She's probably wanting a new toy. I wonder if she's really worried about how daddy's doing or thinking about that net toy or now they've graduated in the, you know, skateboards and all that stuff. So I wonder what her motive is. I got to get to the bottom of that.
Well, we got to catch up with you again. Thank you for staying on long with us, too. Andy Montgomery, we look forward to seeing you down there at the Expo Center holding up a trophy, we hope.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be nice, especially that check that goes with it.
There you go.
Moving to a whole different tax bracket.
Right. Andy, we'll see you out there March 8th through 12th, and best of luck with all of it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Barty. As we say goodbye to Andy Montgomery, we'll be back to wrap up the rest of the Carolina Outdoors right after this. Events happening in the area for the outdoor people. We need to say the Urban Hike, you are invited. It is, I forgot when it was, March 12th, Sunday, March 12th at 1 p.m. We're meeting at the Fair Meadow Swim and Racket Club. That's in the South Park area. You are invited. Bring your comfortable shoes and a water bottle. If you don't have them, we've got them for you at Jesse Brown's.
How much does that hike cost?
It is the ever affordable $0.
But you probably want to bring your wallet and your ID if you look young, because it ends at Legion Brewery.
Oh, that's just a highlight. That's like the top of the mountain. You get to see far, 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 far away after 7.7 miles of hiking. And then, Wes, March 12th, you're going to be on hand. The Banff Film Festival is coming to Charlotte, the Knight Theater.
Yeah, 1:30 and 7 are two. It's two different series of Banff Film Festival independent films. So come on up to the Knight Theater for that. There will be raffles that you don't have to pay for. They come with your ticket. So come on up to that and say hello.
That's right. We're like comedians. You can see Wes at the Banff Film Festival, see Bill at the Urban Hike, and you can see both of us at the Fly Fishing Film Tour. It's March 22nd. Tickets are on sale at Jesse Brown's or at F3T. That's a fly fishing party, essentially.
Yep.
Exciting times.
And it is so much fun. And the movies look so good this year. So come on out as we get deeper into the pollinating season.
That is what it is. Special thanks to Andy Montgomery from Major League Fishing for joining in. They're going to be fishing Lake Norman in the Red Crest coming up March 8th through 12th. Head over to the Park Expo Center. You can see anglers there. We're glad that he's on. For Wes Lawson and TJ Boggs, this is Bill Barty saying, make the Carolina outdoors a little bit better than you found it. And pick up your trash.
Booyakasha.
Trash.